This is Case Closed, crime stories from the golden age of radio. Welcome back to Case Closed and another hour of old-time radio crime as we do every Wednesday here. Our first show this week is from Let George Do It. It's his episode titled Operation Europa from April 28, 1952. After that, it's Jeff Regan, investigator, and the Diamond Quartet, his story from August 14, 1948.
Personal notice, danger's my stock and trade. If the job's too tough for you to handle, you got a job for me, George Valentine. Write full details.
Standard Oil Company of California invites you to Let George Do It. In a moment, we'll begin tonight's adventure. If you've tried several different motor oils in your car, remember this. We tried hundreds of oils in our laboratories and on the road before we developed heavy-duty RPM, the motor oil that, compared to premium-type motor oils, as designated by the American Petroleum Institute, doubles engine life between major overhauls due to lubrication. Now, performance reports from RPM users confirm it. One cab company, for example, found that heavy-duty RPM more than doubled engine life, actually reduced engine wear 71%. Get heavy-duty RPM motor oil for your car at any standard station or independent Chevron gas station where they say and mean we take better care of your car. And now, tonight's story, Operation Europa, a transcribed adventure of George Valentine.
George Valentine, Esquire. You were highly recommended by our American correspondents as men who can handle very important and confidential matter involving $250,000. Have air mail advance payment check and 2 plane tickets. Flight 286, leaving International Airport, New York, Wednesday afternoon. See you and Miss Brooks.
In our Paris office, Rue de Field, Saint-Thomas 5, Maurice LeBlanc, Europa Insurance Company.
Hey, we're getting up in the world, Brooksy. Transatlantic cables, no less.
Paris in spring.
I don't want to sound stuffy, but we do have a business, obligations. And this cable doesn't ask, it takes this for granted.
Paris in the spring.
So I think we'll just crumble up this little billy-do, throw it in the waste paper basket.
George! Paris in the spring!
And get started packing. Come on, Angel.
Paris is not for working, it is for romance, joie de vivre. The organ grinders are out in the street, and children are playing.
And, Mr. LeBlanc, we came thousands of miles in a matter of $250,000.
Among other things.
And you will not be disappointed, mademoiselle. But, yes, to business. Of course, the man who is about to cost Europa Insurance $250,000 is not here in Paris.
He isn't?
No. He's in Istanbul.
Istanbul, Turkey?
But that is only a few hours by airplane. Everything is only a few hours away these days. That is why we could afford to get you, Monsieur Valentine.
Thanks.
Our client's name is Henri Tour, a very respectable diamond dealer. I spoke to him a short while ago by telephone, and we make plans how you are to meet him.
Well, what do you mean, how to meet him?
He wants to make sure that you are not seen talking to him because it might be important that the thief does not know that.
Thief? What thief?
The man who stole the Romani diamonds. Peter Iglescu, the Romanian.
Hey, wait a minute, hold on. You mean you know who the thief is? Well, then what's the problem? Why can't he be arrested?
He just cannot. Believe me. Monsieur Tour will explain. He wants to meet you on the Istanbul Bridge at 10 tonight. He will drive in his car and pick you up. Here's his picture. He will have a description of you.
Sounds like a full-blown intrigue.
Oh, it is that. Yes, indeed it is.
Oh, jolly.
I have here a check for expenses and two airplane tickets on flight number...
One ticket. I think I'll leave you here in Paris, Brooksy, and get in touch with you at the hotel when I find out what this is all about.
Well, but...
Paris in the spring, remember? Enjoy it, Angel.
And it will be my privilege to be your personal guide, mademoiselle. Ma blonde américain, je suis à votre service.
Oh, merci.
I'll take that ticket and au revoir. I wonder if Turkish cops pick you up for loitering. Come on, Mr. Tour. Come on. Europe at one end, Asia at another. Quite a bridge. And according to the guidebook, those lights over there should be the old Sultan's palace. Ah, good.
Monsieur Valentine?
Oh, hello. Mr. Tour?
Yes. Come in quickly, please. Sorry to act so mysterious, Monsieur Valentine, but believe me, it is necessary.
Whatever you say. Where are we going?
There is a little coffee shop in Galata. We can talk there.
Let me get this arrangement between you and this Peter Iglescu clear, Mr. Tour.
It was not a very unusual arrangement, not here in Europe.
Well, now, let's see. The Romani diamonds have been in the Iglescu family for 100 years or more. You took them on a sort of consignment to sell them, and you protected Mr. Iglescu by giving him your personal note for $250,000.
That's right. Of course, I am insured with Europa. That is where they come in.
And when did you find the diamonds gone?
Almost a week ago, Iglescu and I are both staying at the Hotel Metropole. I was ready to show the stones to a visiting prince from India, and they were gone. I would swear that only Iglescu knew where I kept them.
Did you accuse him?
No. In fact, I told him nothing about the theft.
Why?
He would only deny it. And where would you look for 4 small stones?
Oh, I see.
In 4 days, according to our agreement, I will either have to return the stones to Iglescu because I was unable to sell them, or pay him the money.
Uh-huh. Well, what did you think I'd be able to do for you, Mr. Tour?
I really do not know. I am just a desperate man. One thing I am sure about.
What's that?
Iglescu still has the diamonds. Here, somewhere in Istanbul.
Oh, it's a big place.
The Romani diamonds are too well known to the dealers. He could never sell the stones to them. And if he tries to, as you say, fence them, he would get practically nothing.
So our friend will sit tight until he gets the money from you. Then later, get rid of the stones somewhere else. In Paris, England, America, maybe.
Yes.
Well, I sure enough can't just appeal to his better nature.
He has none, believe me. He is charming and polished, but he is as hard as one of those diamonds he stole.
He doesn't know of the theft, and he too lives at the Metropole.
What is that?
Just thinking out loud, that's all. I may be brighter in the morning. That's right, LeBlanc. You heard me.
But the hotel detective, Valentine.
Hotel detective at the Metropole. And if your influence goes that far, let the manager act as though I've been a hotel detective there for quite some time.
Very well. I shall not ask any more questions. I shall do what you ask.
Fine. It's just a hunch. But there's nothing to lose, is there?
Yes, I can have some imitation Romani diamonds ready by tomorrow. Of course, they will not fool a real expert.
They don't have to. Let them look pretty close to the real thing and I'll be satisfied, Mr. Tour.
I see. But then you also say I shall have to play a part?
Exactly.
Like an actor?
Like an actor. But don't worry, Mr. Tour. I'll coach you very thoroughly.
Speak a little louder, darling. I can hardly hear you.
I want you to come to Istanbul and register at the Hotel Metropole. You got that?
Metropole, yes.
All right. You can use your real name, but I'm afraid you'll have to do a little acting.
acting?
Yeah, you're a flip, glib American showgirl on the make.
Why, Mr. Valentine?
On the make, especially for a wealthy, fat little Frenchman named Henri Tour. Now, when you come to the lobby of the Metropole... The tall, dark gentleman over there is Peter Iglesias, Brooksie.
Yes, George.
Okay, let's start walking. And remember, I want him to see me in my job as hotel detective.
I know, and see me making a play for Mr. Tour.
Okay.
But I tell you, I must find Fifi. She's not just my dog, she's my good luck charm.
Oh, yes, yes, indeed, Miss Brooks. And all of us here at the Metropole shall do our best to help you.
Fifi always liked men more than women. The other girls in the show always say she takes after me.
Yes, ma'am.
Maybe this gentleman here saw Fifi.
Oh, well, let me ask him. I beg your pardon, sir.
Oh, yes?
Mr. Iglesias, I'm the house detective.
What?
This is Miss Brooks, one of our guests.
Hello.
Oh, Miss Brooks?
Yeah. Miss Brooks was wondering whether you'd seen her little black French poodle. The name is Fifi. It seems Fifi is lost.
No, I'm afraid I have not seen her. And it is a shame I cannot be of service to such a charming young lady.
Oh, say, that's sweet of you to say that.
Well, sorry to bother you, sir.
No, quite all right.
Oh, there's a distinguished-looking man. Maybe he can help me.
Oh, that's Mr. Tour, Miss Brooks. And if you'd like me to ask
him... Oh, never mind. I'll ask him myself. I've always been partial to the older, like I said, distinguished-type man.
Ah, very attractive girl.
Showgirl, Mr. Iglesias.
Oh?
Didn't have much trouble getting to talk to Mr. Tour.
No, no indeed.
I can't tell how they do it, but they can spot money in a man a mile away. Well, she might have lost Fifi, but she sure found Mr. Tour. Sorry to have bothered you, Mr. Iglesias. Just part of my job. That's right, Mr. Tour. Sleep soundly. Pleasant dreams. Now, where are those diamonds? Oh, yes. Here they are. Nice. Very nice. That will set the stage very nicely. Ah. Yep, that does it. Good night, Mr. Tour.
Good night, Monsieur Valentine. And good luck. Oh, this is terrible, Iglesias. Terrible.
I certainly think you have treated me very badly, too.
What difference does it make now?
Oh, now, gentlemen, please, please.
Yes, yes, Monsieur Valentine, I am sorry. Look at my room. It has not been disturbed. I tell you, I was robbed by a professional jewel thief. The diamonds, the Romani diamonds are gone.
Yes, sir, I shall report that to the police.
No, no, I do not want that. I want no publicity. It will only make the thief hide. You are the detective here at the hotel. You can help me.
Oh, you should have called on me last week.
He did not even tell me what happened. And the diamonds are really mine.
But I explained it. Those diamonds last week were imitations. Cheaper to carry around than to pay extra insurance premiums. That is why I did not worry. And you were protected by that note, Iglesias. So I did not have to tell you anything.
I still think you might at least...
Just what did you want me to do, Mr. Tour?
I understand you've been here in Istanbul a long time.
Well, yes.
And you, you have had dealings with all sorts of people. All sorts. I want those diamonds back. I will pay a reward. I will ask no questions.
Well, that's always easier said than done.
Ah, if someone stole the imitations, you should have been warned by that tour.
But I was sure no one knew that I still had the real diamonds.
Ah.
You must help me find them, Monsieur Valentine.
I'll certainly try.
How can you even start to go about something like this, Mr. Valentine? It is impossible.
No. No, not impossible, Mr. Iglesias. It's mostly a matter of baiting the trap. Then you sit back and wait.
In just a moment, we'll return to tonight's adventure of George Valentine. Friends, if a sluggish, choked-up motor makes your driving a constant chore rather than a pleasure, now is the time to shift to the gas with all eight Chevron Supreme. Balance blended for peak performance under all driving conditions, Chevron Supreme gasoline gives you not one, not two, but all eight high-performance qualities. Fast warm-up, quick starting, vapor lock prevention, anti-knock, economy mileage, area blending, smooth acceleration, and full power. Your engine needs all eight of these qualities to do its job right and make driving a pleasure for you. You'll notice the difference right away from your very first tank full of Chevron Supreme. Remember, any gasoline can be refined to stress one performance feature at the expense of others, but Chevron Supreme is designed and refined to give you all eight high-performance qualities in correct balance. So for top all-round driving pleasure, wherever you drive in the West, stop in soon and fill her up with Chevron Supreme gasoline at any standard station or independent Chevron gas station where they say and mean we take better care of your car. You go halfway across the world to Istanbul to try and recover a fortune in stolen diamonds. It's an unusual case because you're quite certain who the thief is. But how do you get him to give up the priceless loot? Well, if your name is George Valentine, you think the only chance is to set a trap with greed as the bait. So far, you've built only the first part of the trap. And even as sharp a gal as Brooksy can't quite figure out what the trap is supposed to be.
I'll meet you back at Paris as soon as I can make it, Angel.
You better. Paris is no place for a single girl.
Not even with a charming guide like Monsieur LeBlanc?
Especially not with a charming guide like Monsieur LeBlanc.
Oh.
George, I still haven't the faintest notion of what you're trying to do here. I thought we weren't supposed to be seen together, and now you're right here in the open with me.
Now it's important that I be seen talking with you. It'd be very helpful if I were seen.
Okay. Maybe I'll find out what this is all about some other time.
Oh, Brooks, you did a fine job. If its purpose is a little vague, remember, I'm fumbling around in the dark myself.
Yeah, I know, darling.
The only thing I have been able to accomplish, I hope, is to put the first shadow of a doubt into Iglescu's mind. If the real diamonds were stolen last night, he's going to wonder what he stole last week.
$30,000.
That's right, Mr. Iglescu. And you're getting the bargain of the century.
Now, of course, you know I can tell all of this to Mr. Tour. And the least that will happen to you then is that you will lose your job here.
You're not going to Tour, are you? You see, it's an economically sound proposition. If I sell you these diamonds, you can have them and the money you'll get from Mr. Tour on that note of his.
No, but that girl, the American showgirl... You didn't have to pay anything to her.
Oh, no, no, no. She was very grateful that I let her get on that plane to Paris without calling the police. Yeah, I told her I even did that because she was a fellow American.
Oh, very decent of you.
I'm afraid Miss Brooks is not a professional criminal. She just succumbed to temptation that once. It was quite a hunch I had that she was our mysterious Miss Raffles.
Now, how do I know that you have the diamonds?
You'll have to take my word for it.
Not good enough.
All right. Here.
No, I did not mean to doubt you.
Uh-huh. Look, I'd probably get a reward from Tour, but it wouldn't be anywhere near 30,000. So I gain, and it's a good deal for you. 30,000 in American dollars. Is it a deal?
I will get the money. I will meet you at 6 near the Mosque Kari, that is the mosque with a large silver dome.
So you really think you have him, as you say, on the hook, Monsieur Valentine?
At least there's a chance, Mr. Tour. Have you checked all the banks here in Istanbul?
There are only a few large ones. I have friends in most of them.
And no Iglescu account in them, huh?
No.
And certainly no $30,000 transactions of any sort today.
No.
Good, good, fine.
What? I do not understand.
I think Mr. Iglescu needs one final bit of convincing that what I have here are the real Romani diamonds. And I have an idea he's going to try and convince himself. I would gladly change places with you, brother. Way up there on that minaret. Safe. What this place needs is more electric lights. Of course, Iglescu could have chosen a meeting place in Galata, Pará. Or he could have... What the... Hey, hey, you! Oh, you're not going to run away leaving a knife there, are you? Take another throw at me, Fesboy.
No!
No! It's a handy word to know, but it's not going to help you. Hey, stop! Oh, that's great. I sure don't want to chase him. Run back to the man who hired you, Fesboy.
Metropole. Hotel Metropole. Me understand. No worry.
Okay, I won't worry. Just get this cab there quick.
You American, mister? Hockey kid. Yankee Doodle. Hockey kid, huh?
Sure, fine.
Me name Pukovitsky.
Yeah.
Puko, Italian. Vits, Russian. Ski, Polish. Which all makes me Greek boy. Hockey kid?
Yeah, ginger peachy. Hey, what... Now what?
Don't know. Maybe engine go fui. Me look.
Okay, but make it snappy, will you?
You help Yankee boy, you.
Hey, cut it out, you.
He knocked your head.
You'll need more than that.
Okay, kid.
More than a monkey wrench.
Yankee doodle.
Get it. Oh. Oh, what do you know? Who would think Iglescu would plan a double chance to knock me off? You failed to keep your appointment at the Mascari, Mr. Iglescu.
A very bad failing of mine, yes.
But a couple of your friends sort of pinch hit for you, didn't they?
And I do not know what you are talking about.
Uh-huh. Anyway, you should know that you can't get anything without paying for it.
You cannot blame me for trying to save myself some money.
Oh, it's done every day in the best of circles. I just came by to tell you that you've missed your chance, Buster. The deal for the diamonds is off. Good.
Oh, now let us not be too hasty, Valentine.
Oh, I'm not hasty at all. I'm just being prudent. I don't like the way you play. So I'm going to turn the diamonds over to Tor and settle for the reward.
You cannot do that.
You want to bet?
I'll pay you the money. No tricks.
Too late.
$35,000.
Not interested.
You're being a fool, Valentine.
A very bad failing of mine.
All right. You can come with me while I get the money. There will be no more tricks.
I value my life too much, friend. Besides, I already told Mr. Tor I'd be up to his suite in an hour. That I had a wonderful surprise for
you.
No,
listen, Mr.
But you're welcome to be there for the finale.
But where did you get these, Mr. Valentine? How did you get them back so quickly?
Remember the agreement, Mr. Tour. No questions. Let's just say I was very lucky.
I would look at those diamonds very carefully, Tour. I will certainly demand to know they are the real ones before I give you back that note for $250,000.
Well, they are the real ones.
Oh, make sure by all means, Mr. Tour. After all, you yourself said there are some funny ones somewhere in Istanbul. The ones that were stolen a week ago.
Yes, yes, I know.
I am not an expert. I do not know the fine points of the stones. But I am not a fool.
Well, I am almost sure. But, of course, I have an eyeglass in the other room.
Why don't you get it?
Yeah, let's get it by all means. These diamonds are safe here. And I wouldn't want any sort of reward for something I don't deserve.
Anything you say, Monsieur Valentine. We will be right back, Iglescu.
You cannot blame me, of course, for wanting to be sure.
Of course not.
Okay, that was fine, Tour, fine. Did you see him snap for the bait?
Do you think it might possibly work?
Well, he gave it a plenty elaborate build-up. You should have heard him actually beg me to take his money for the diamonds.
Here, I have the eyeglass.
You better give him enough time. Not too long, not too short. Just the right amount of time.
You say when we should go in.
Yeah, okay.
Do you hear anything in there?
No. Okay, I think that's it.
Yes, Monsieur Valentine.
Easy, Mr. Tour. Easy.
Yes, yes, easy.
Did you get it, Tour?
Yes. Here it is.
Ah, the big moment is at hand, huh?
For both of us, eh, Iglescu?
That is right.
Let me see now. Here, this first one.
Well?
It is good, all right.
Fine.
Oh, you'd better make very certain, Tour.
These others. Yes? Yes? All of them are the real Romani diamonds. No question at all.
Well, as I said before, I shall have to have other expert opinion with all due respect to your knowledge. You won't mind that, will you, too?
No, I will not mind at all.
And if I were you, I'd take that smug smirk off your face, Iglescu.
What?
It happens that he's right and you're wrong.
What?
Even though you think that the diamonds you switched on us make those on the table phony and the ones somewhere in your pockets are the good ones.
I do not know what you're talking
Maybe
about.
Maybe I can show you.
No, let go. Take your hands off me. What are you doing?
Just building up to something that'll make you kick yourself all over the place, Frank.
You stop that?
No, you're struggling, Iglescu. Monsieur Valentine is a very determined young man.
Uh-huh. Yeah, here we are.
Oh, well, those are well, I mean,
these are the phony diamonds I was carrying. The ones you just took off the table when you put the good ones back on it.
Oh, no.
The ones I stole from Mr. Tour with his complete cooperation.
You are lying.
Oh, but he is not. He is telling nothing but the truth.
After all, since you had the real Romani diamonds all the time, we had to get them back somehow. And, Buster, you obliged us. Sort of cheating cheaters. Thanks a lot.
Oh, you're not going to get away with it. This is not the end.
You're so right, Rollo. I owe you something for all the cute tricks you tried to teach that Fez boy in the cabbie. And here it is.
Oh, splendid. Magnifique.
And now I have something else I must attend to. In Paris, that guy LeBlanc is too darn good looking. And maybe Paris in the spring is not overrated.
Check these advantages of buying with a Chevron National Credit Card. For tax and budget purposes, your receipt is an accurate, permanent record of your gas, oil, and other purchases, and it's not necessary to carry cash. A Chevron National Credit Card is honored in the West by standard stations and independent Chevron gas stations, and by leading oil companies elsewhere in the United States and Canada. You'll enjoy new ease and convenience with a Chevron National Credit Card, your key to finer products and better service at standard stations and independent Chevron gas stations, where they say and mean, we take better care of your car.
You know, darling, it's all true, all the things they say about Paris.
I never saw you quite as radiant as you are now, Angel.
There's love in the air. You can actually feel it.
Your eyes are shining, ma blonde de Barricade.
And I can thank Monsieur LeBlanc for it. He's simply marvelous.
Oh, he is.
He knows so much about love and marriage and all the wonderful things it can mean. Oh, we had so many talks together.
You did?
He's so young. But do you know that he's been married for over 10 years?
Well, you don't say.
He has 6 children and there's another one on the way. He says children make any marriage happy.
Well, what do you know?
He wants me to write to him and tell him just how the two of us are coming along. He says he can give me all sorts of good advice.
Good. Let's call him.
Why, darling.
Yeah. Ask him if there's a good French restaurant in town.
Tonight's transcribed adventure of George Valentine has been brought to you by Standard Oil Company of California on behalf of independent Chevron gas stations and standard stations throughout the West. Robert Bailey has starred as George with Virginia Gregg as Brooksy. Let George Do It was written by David Victor and Jackson Gillis and directed by Kenneth Webb. Robert Boone was heard as LeBlanc, Byron Kane as Tour, Larry Dobkin as Iglescu, and Benny Rubin is the cabbie. The music was composed and presented by Eddie Dunstetter. Your announcer, John Heaston. Listen again next week, same time, same station, to Let George Do It. Last year, more men than women died of cancer. There is no one, man or woman, young or old, who can be sure he won't develop this terrible disease. It strikes 1 in 5 of us. Strike back at it. Join the cancer crusade of the American Cancer Society. Give generously. Mail your contribution today to Cancer, care of Postmaster. Let George Do It is heard overseas through the worldwide facilities of the Armed Forces Radio Service. This is the Mutual Don Lee Broadcasting System.
My name's Jeff Regan. I get 10 a day in expenses from a detective bureau run by a guy named Lyon, Anthony J. Lyon. I'm the Lion's Eye.
With Jack Webb as Jeff Regan, investigator, stand by for hard-boiled action and mystery and thrilling adventure in tonight's story of The Diamond Quartet.
Well, this is the way it started. Melody called about 6 o'clock that night. She gave me the name of a restaurant out on the strip and said that Lyon was waiting for me. I drove out there and found him squatting at one of the corner tables. Had a big white napkin tucked under all of his chins, and he was working on a plate of crab louie and a bottle of beer. A tall, peroxide blonde in flax and dark glasses was sitting across from him, watching him eat. And a couple of bald-headed waiters were just sort of standing around looking at the ceiling.
Well, Regan, I see you got my message. You're right on time. Sit down. I want you to meet Miss, what did you say your name was, young lady?
Madge will do. Just plain Madge, Fatso.
Regan, this is Madge.
I hate gumshoes. They all stink.
Okay, where'd you find her?
Madge? Madge works for Mr. Daly, Mr. Pete Daly. He's a new client of ours. Isn't that right, Madge?
All gumshoes are nosy. That's why I don't like them.
Madge is going to drive you out to Mr. Daly's residence, Regan.
Who's Daly?
Very nice chap. I spoke with him on the phone.
What's the job?
Well, it's a rather delicate matter, and I think Mr. Daly himself can explain it better than I.
Come on, all this gassing ain't getting us nowhere. The boss is waiting. Gumshoes talk too much.
Yes, Regan. I told Mr. Daly you'd be there by 7 o'clock. You just run along with Madge here and see what it's all about.
That's it.
Nice to have met you, Madge.
That's dry up, Fatso.
Good. Call me, Regan. Call me if you're running into any trouble.
Just plain Madge, who was carrying a .25 automatic in her purse. When we got into a Cadillac, we went out the pass, turned off a hill and back of Burbank. Daly's residence was at the end of a private road, a nice old southern-style place with two or three private patrolmen guarding the entrance. They all needed shade. They kind of nodded when we got out of the car and went up to the front door. Naturally, there was a peep shutter there. It was real southern.
Yeah?
Me, Felix. This is the private peeper the boss wants to see.
Okay, miss.
Come on this way.
Who is this?
Madge, I got your peeper. Here he is, Pete. Flat feet and all. His name's Regan.
Okay, Madge, that's all. Beat it. Sit down, Regan, sit down. Don't mind Madge. He's kind of antisocial.
Nice place you got. How's the gross?
Yeah, I do all right. 2 crap tables, 2 faro games, a little roulette in the living room, but I have to be careful.
I noticed that driving up.
There's lots of money thrown around here every night. Somebody might get some ideas. You know how it is.
What about the law?
Law? No trouble with them. I just don't let them know I'm in operation.
Mm-hmm.
In my business, I haven't much use for private detectives. I don't generally like them.
Neither does Madge.
But I happen to need one right now. I want you to do a little job for me.
You seem to have plenty of help around here. Wasn't that Felix Frazier at the door there? Last time I saw him, he was shadowing a banker up in Sacramento.
Yes, that was Felix, all right, but it's a little different. Yeah. Never seen this before? No? Well, it's a little bit of necklace called the Diamond Quartet. It's worth quite a chunk of cash. These 4 diamonds are good stuff.
So?
Dame named Annabella Callender left it here a week ago. She was in kind of deep at the roulette table and was wearing this. She left it for security.
How much did she lose?
About 5 G's, I guess. Kind of screwy little dame. She's a widow with a lot of money and a boyfriend named Teddy Silco. He paints or something. They come here.
And she loses steady.
Every time. Well, she sent me a check today for the full amount of what she lost.
Yeah?
And I want you to take this thing back to her tonight.
That it?
That's it. I got my dough. She gets her little diamond necklace back. Just business.
Well, it sounds simple.
It's simple. You're a licensed investigator, bonded, insured. Don't want any fuss about this. You just take it back. Very simple.
Okay. Now, you told me how simple it all is. Suppose you give me the hook. Did her check bounce?
You, want a drink? There wasn't any check.
I thought it'd be something like that.
Yeah. She called me a couple of hours ago, said if I didn't have this thing back by tonight, she'd call a load of cops and come out and get it.
Not such a dumb dame as that.
As you're telling me. If she comes here with cops, I'm closed for the season, and this dump cost me a pile of dough. Felix was running the roulette table that night. I didn't know he'd taken this as security until we counted up. I should have pushed his mush in or something, letting a dame like that make us a setup.
Yeah, maybe you'll do better next time.
Ain't gonna be no next time, Reagan. Here's her address. Here's the ice. Just take it to her, and I'll chalk it up to experience.
You better get yourself a new boy at that table.
Yes, you're telling me. You're telling me.
Well, I took a taxi over to the restaurant in Hollywood, picked up my Buick, and drove to an apartment house near Pico and Beverly Drive. A couple of men in a little gray coupe were sitting in front of the building smoking cigarettes and pulling on their hat brims. I figured Daly was making sure I got the right address. Upstairs, on the fifth floor, I leaned into the buzzer and waited to see what Mrs. Annabella Callender looked like.
Oh, Teddy, I thought you'd never get here. The performance begins at 8:15, and you know the traffic. You aren't there.
You Annabella Callender?
Well, of course. Who are you?
My name's Regan.
Oh, Miss Regan. Well, I'm only waiting for Ted to get here so we can make first curtain at the Biltmore. We're seeing Carousel, and we're going to be late if he doesn't get here. You can understand that.
Yeah, it figures.
And I'm all ready, and he hasn't shown up. Well, good night.
Yeah, her white ermine cape and the black strapless thing needed a touch. But she had it. That necklace I had in my pocket, or a very good copy, was hanging around her neck, and it looked like Fourth League light for the Hollywood premiere.
Lay off, lay off. You fuck the door, lay off. What's the idea? You want to bust down the door? You drunk or something?
I've been pounding on this door for 5 minutes.
Well, that's too bad. Can't you read the signs? The building's closed. The scram, drift, push off, blow.
You got a jeweler in this building named Tartaglia?
Yeah, we got a jeweler named Tartaglia. Only don't want to see nobody because it's 9 o'clock at night. The joint's closed and he ain't here.
All right, slow down. He lives someplace, don't he?
Sure. There's a lot of houses that way. Why don't you try knocking on doors?
There wasn't any residence listed in the phone book. I thought maybe if I came down here to his office, you could tell me where I might see him.
I ain't going to tell you nothing.
Look, I'm a private investigator. I got to see him tonight.
Oh, how's little old expense account, Pilgrim?
It'll do.
Let me see, pal. The name's Freddie Leach. Your boy's a fat old pile of blubber with a lot of talk in this note. White Hotel. 208, 3 blocks, straight ahead.
Thanks, buddy.
Anytime, pal. Brother Storbuck, I'll tell you where his girlfriend lives.
Well, come in, Mr. Regan. Come in, come in. You find me a bit indisposed at this hour. I was preparing to retire, but you said it was a matter of jewelry. Therefore, Bert Tartaglia is at your service. Now then, sir. What is so urgent?
I came to see you about a diamond necklace. I found your name stamped on the inside.
House of Tartaglia, most respected name in diamonds as in all the lapidary arts. Most respected. I'm the last of four sons. But continue, Mr. Regan.
Take a look at this.
And how do you come into possession of the diamond quartet, sir?
A man named Daly, who runs a gambling club, hired me to take it back to a lady named Callender.
Gambling house? And how did Mr. Daly acquire it?
Yeah, she lost it at the roulette table. She left it so she could raise the cash.
Deplorable, deplorable conduct on her part. Annabella Callender, A very indiscreet young lady, to be sure, to be sure. Lovely body, propelled by a ridiculous man.
I tried to take it back to her tonight.
Beautiful. Isn't it, Mr. Eaton?
I want to know if it's real or not.
Real? Of course it's real.
You sure?
Mr. Regan, do you doubt my ability as a gemologist? Once in a lifetime, sir, only once in a lifetime, does an artisan have the opportunity to create the perfect necklace.
How much will it pull?
Priceless in the amount of work. Roughly $65,000. See, here, under the light. See how carefully each stone is mounted. Without reservation, I pronounce the diamond quartet an incomparable masterpiece.
Well, I saw one just like it tonight.
Huh? I didn't quite follow you, sir. No one could create another diamond quartet except Bert Tartaglia.
Well, and somebody made up a pretty good imitation.
The finest workman at best would create only a crude resemblance. This kind of work demands an artist, Mr. Regan, an artist.
But it could get by.
Well, to the unpracticed eye, yes. To the layman, perhaps, yes.
Mm-hmm. That's all I wanted to know.
Later to Nanguith Herba, eh?
What was that?
Latin. A snake in the grass, eh?
Maybe.
Your expression tells me you are concerned for the safety of this piece. I have a safe here in my room, if you care.
No, it'll be all right.
Well, then, you leave satisfied, I trust.
Yeah, thanks.
Think nothing of it, Mr. Regan. Think nothing of it. Just remember the House of Tartaglia when you want fine jewels. Good evening, sir.
In the lobby, I got 2 3-cent stamps from the clerk. He watched me put the diamond quartet in an envelope, address it to myself, and mail it right there. He blinked a couple of times, but I didn't tell him about my two pals parked across the street in the little gray coupe. Well, they were sitting there, still sucking on cigarettes and pulling on their hat brims. When I walked outside, they got out of the coupe, came over to where I was lighting a cigarette. The tall one tapped me on the shoulder.
Here's the paper, Georgie. Want to ask him for a match? Georgie's nearsighted.
That's too bad.
That's him, Danny. Got a match, Peeper?
Georgie asked if you got a match, Peeper. He's a dummy, Georgie. Don't talk.
Got a match, Peeper?
But I tell you, he's a dummy.
You don't look like him, a dummy.
Oh, he's a dummy, all right, ain't you, Peeper? See, he's a dummy, Georgie. I told him about you being nearsighted, and he said it was too bad. Didn't you, Peeper?
He still don't talk.
Go on, Peeper. Tell Georgie how sorry you are about it being nearsighted. I told you he was a dummy, Georgie.
A private eyes like you.
Georgie asked you a question. He wants to know if all private eyes is like you.
Danny boy says you're a dummy. You're a dummy?
Georgie asked you another question. He wants to know if you're a dummy. See, don't answer.
I don't like dummies.
We asked 3 questions already and he ain't said nothing. That makes him a dummy.
Maybe we'd find something if we went through the dummy's pockets.
Yeah, even a dummy's got pockets. Ain't that right, dummy? Hold it, Georgie.
Hey, move just like a dummy.
What do you want?
Hey, talk.
Yeah, yeah. Make him talk again, Georgie. Make him talk bigger, Georgie. Talks real nice, but he don't say much. Think maybe he's tough, Georgie.
He might think he's tough. But then again... You see? Yeah, it's a tough.
Now it's my turn.
Hey. You don't talk no more, Danny.
This Peeper ain't no pretty picture, Georgie. Why you want to hold him up?
You are listening to the story of the Diamond Quartet, tonight's adventure with Jeff Regan, investigator. Nurses are needed now to join the new Army Nurse Corps Officers Reserve. For the first time in history, qualified nurses are given the opportunity of receiving a commission in the regular Army Reserve. These nurses will remain on inactive status, ready to serve their country in the event of an emergency. 4,000 of them, if they wish, may choose active duty. Inactive reserve status will not interfere with the nurse's civilian life, but the educational opportunities offered her by the Army Medical Department will be of a great advantage to her in her work. So don't wait. If you're a registered graduate nurse between the ages of 21 and 45, drop a card now for complete information to the Adjutant General, Washington, D.C. And now, back to the story of the Diamond Quartet and Jeff Regan, investigator.
Call. Regan, do you understand me?
Hmm? What's this?
That's your head. It isn't very pretty, let me tell you that.
I'll be at my desk, Mr.
Martin. All right. Come on, give it to me. What happened? An hour ago, the receiving hospital telephones me that they picked you up in some gutter. I come down to see what's what, and you lay there and ask me, what's this?
Oh, it's the wrong job. Another punk client.
As long as they've got the dough, we love them all. Who are you fighting with?
Couple of boys named Danny and Georgie.
Well, would you mind telling me just where you've been while you should have been doing what you were hired to do?
I was out with Danny and Georgie.
Sure. You were out with Danny and Georgie. But what did you do before that? And what did you do with the necklace? That diamond quartet or whatever it is.
I mailed it.
You mailed it? You were hired to deliver that thing personally, and you mail it.
Where's my clothes?
Regan, I'll never understand you. I'll never understand you or the way you do things. I send you out on a simple little job. All you have to do is take a necklace back, and what do? You wind up bleeding all over the city streets. Here's your pass.
What time you got?
3 o'clock in the morning. It's always 3 o'clock in the morning when somebody telephones me that you're in trouble somewhere.
Well, why don't you go home and go back to bed?
I haven't been to bed. I haven't had one wink of sleep tonight. You know why? Because on top of all my other troubles, some dame who sounds like she has a suit full of hoops has been calling my place every half hour asking for you. My place.
Why didn't you tell her to call my place?
I did tell her to call your place. I told her a couple of hundred times to call your place. Then I told her to shut up.
Coat.
Here. You look terrible. Terrible.
She give you a name?
Annabella something or other. I don't know.
Mm-hmm.
But what I want to know is... Hey, where are you going? Who's going to pay this hospital bill? Where are you going?
Well, the cab driver circled twice before he picked me up, but he got me out to her place in 20 minutes. When I got upstairs, her door was halfway open, and the light from the hallway kind of seeped in. She was sitting in a big chair right by the door. I don't know why, but she was holding the phone on her lap, just sitting there, looking at nothing.
Oh, Mr. Regan. It's you. You came back.
Yeah. I don't think you're going to need this.
Oh. Well, then, Mr. Regan. Well, then. I suppose you've met some people tonight who know a great deal about me.
Some? A gambler? A jeweler?
And of course they told you how to carry on with money and all that. Everyone seems to know that.
Yeah, Daly told me.
Do you know about Charles? Charles and I had so many things together. It was so much fun being alive with him. You like to have fun, Mr. Regan? I do think he enjoyed being alive with me. I mean, I cried when Charles was killed. I really did. I cried. I didn't know what to do. I cried.
How long ago was that?
Oh, Charles was killed 3 years ago. But now I have Teddy. He's really a dear. You should meet him. We should all have a drink together or something. Teddy's a fine artist. Very fine artist. I think you'll be very common someday. I really do think Teddy will be very common. Some thirsty. Of course, it wouldn't make any difference now. Did they tell you that did they tell you... Funny. I can't seem to get my tongue adjusted to my mouth. Has that ever happened to you, Mr. Regan?
Sometimes.
Teddy asked me to marry him tonight.
He did?
Yes, I've been very lonely since Charles died, and this is my money that Teddy's interested in, I'm certain. Teddy has some money of his own, although many people don't know it. What is money, Regan? What would you say, money? Oh, yes, I go into that business about my tongue. You think I should see a correction?
Why did you call me tonight?
Oh, you're the only detective I know. And I really don't know you. It's just that Mr. Daly said you were a detective.
Why did you want to see me?
I really can't understand money. I know it must sound strange to you, but some people live for it, and some people die for it, and some people...
What's wrong? What is it? Come on.
Oh, they do look so funny. So very funny. I've seen them count money. Oh, so much money. I really believe that's all they live for. They handle it and caress it now.
Come on, tell me, what's wrong? What is it? He was pointing to a black spot across the room. I found the light switch and turned it on. Oh, yeah, they looked funny, all right. It was Daly and his dumb roulette table man, Felix. And both of them were as dead as you can get. Your name's Silco?
Oh, yes, I was expecting...
My name's Regan. I'm a private investigator. I'm calling from her apartment.
Annabella's?
Listen. There's been a couple of murders here.
What?
She's had quite a jolt. She's going to need you and all the help she can get. I called homicide and, well, it might be kind of rough for her.
I'll bring a doctor.
And a lawyer.
I've got a good one. I'll be there in 10 minutes. Thank you.
Well, he showed up about the same time Wendetti and the homicide boys got there. By that time, she couldn't even talk, and I had to put her to sleep. I told Wendetti what I knew about it, and he said we'd get it straightened around as soon as she had something to say. It was about 8 o'clock in the morning when I got home. I didn't expect my boy to show up so soon. He was already there.
Regan, I've been expecting you. Come in, sir. Come in. I've been amusing myself with your test board. So we meet again. Sit down. You've had rather a hectic night, I'll wager.
Your boys were pretty rough.
Georgie and Danny? Two men of another world, Regan. Not our world. Allow me to apologize for their actions. And so unnecessary, too. I underestimated you, Regan. Such an ingenious method of protecting the Diamond Quartet. Why, sir, by the simple expedient of placing a 3-cent stamp on an envelope and mailing it to you yourself, you hired as guardians the entire United States Postal Service. Not to mention the Army, Navy, and Marine Corps.
You want one of these?
No, thank you, Regan. Much too early in the day. But go ahead. You give me cause to admire you again, sir. I am one of those faint-hearted persons who cannot abide liquor until 5 o'clock in the afternoon.
All right. What happens now?
By gad, I admire your directness, Mr. Regan. When I met you last night, I promised myself you'd give me trouble, and you have.
Who's in on it?
That's directly. In answer, sir, that is a matter to be explained.
Double cross.
If you can bear my vanity, I have invented a new word. Triple cross. It does have a ring to it, doesn't it?
Sounds familiar.
My gad, sir, I like you.
Daly in on this?
Daly? No, of course not. A mere instigator. But when Madge explained to me that he was returning the Diamond Quartet, I first conceived the plan.
Just plain Madge.
She and her friends have been very valuable to me.
They knocked off Daly and Felix and planted them in the girl's apartment.
Right. With two cadavers in her living room, Mrs. Callender was very unlikely to discuss missing jewelry with the police.
Then it was a phony she was wearing and she didn't even know it, huh?
And it caused all of this. If you had merely returned it, it would have been simple to remove it from her. But then...
And you just sit here and wait for the mail.
We wait for the mail, Mr. Regan.
What about your playmate?
You do act your role, don't you? And I like you for it, Mr. Regan. I wish you and I could have worked out something together. An unbeatable team. In answer, sir, I'm afraid I shall be sought for murder for two this night.
Danny and Georgie?
And, Madge. Does that name bother you as much as it bothers me? Give me a woman with a name like Celeste or Josephine or Roxanne. Those, sir, are proper names for the creatures. But Madge.
Where are the police going to find all these bodies?
In my hotel room, which I departed hastily.
I know a man down at Central Homicide named Wendetti.
Do you?
Mm-hmm. He's the best cop I've ever seen. You'll never get away with it.
Allow me to correct you, sir. I don't intend to get away with it. Observe me well. You see before you a man advanced in years, attached to a destitute and bankrupt jewelry firm, with nothing more to look forward to than a grim few years, and finally the end. Now an opportunity to live like a king, and by God, sir, I've taken it.
They'll pick you up before you can pack a bag.
I'll risk that. I shall turn the diamond quartet into cash, and with a well-laden purse, I shall be satisfied to elude the police over half the world. Oh, yes, they'll get me. In 2 years, 3 years, perhaps. By that time, I shall have spent the money. And what more could a man ask than a perfect fulfillment of all his wishes? I ask you, sir, as one gentleman to another, what more could a man ask? You have company, and I have a gun. Answer it. Tell him to go away. Otherwise, he's done. All right. Open it.
One side, Thomas. I got a gun.
Madge.
Thought I'd find you here, poor boy. Get into the gun. Get out of one of me.
Caution, my dear. I have a gun, too.
That's long enough to let you at it. Get out of my way, people. Oh!
Mr. Regan, sir. I believe I've been shot. I'll need it. Assistance. I can't seem to hold my feet, sir. Hold my feet. The murderer's Neil Nifty Bonham, Mr. Regan. Or if your second year Latin escaped you, speak well of the dead. It was an awkward plan at best. What? It
was a lousy idea. Well, there wasn't anybody left for Wendetti to arrest, so we sat around and looked at each other. Wendetti agreed that Madge double-crossed Daly. Tartaglia double-crossed Madge and her boys. Yeah, triple-cross. Well, the lion had something on his mind. He wanted to know, was I satisfied with what I got out of this case? I didn't answer him. I need the job.
Army Nurse Corps Reserve still has commissions available. If you are a graduate registered nurse between the ages of 21 and 45, you may be eligible for a commission in the Army Nurse Corps section of the Regular Officers Reserve. Graduate work is provided at the Army's most modern teaching centers, and the nurses obtain educational experiences that benefit them in both civilian and military nursing. If you believe you qualify for a commission in the Army Nurse Corps Reserve, apply to the Adjutant General, Washington, D.C. Jack Webb is featured as Jeff Regan, with Wilms Herbert as Anthony J. Lyon. The role of Bert Tartaglia was played by Barry Kroger. Lorene Tuttle was Annabella Callender. It's CBS same time next week for Trouble, Suspense, and Thrilling Adventure with Jeff Regan, Investigator. Written by E. Jack Newman, produced by Gordon T. Hughes, directed tonight by Cliff Howell. This is CBS, the Columbia Broadcasting System.
That's going to do it for this episode of Case Closed. I hope you enjoyed it. You can find more from Let George Do It, Jeff Regan, past episodes of this show, and all the others at RelicRadio.com. There's also a link there to our Shoutcast stream and our donate button if you enjoy this and all the shows would like to help out. Your donations make all of this possible. Thank you, as always, to those who have. Thanks for joining me today. Talk again next Wednesday with another episode of Case Closed. Case Closed is produced by and for RelicRadio.com. Rebroadcast of this show without permission is strictly prohibited.